morning. You know, it's still January, still the beginning of the year, even though this is the last weekend of the month. We are still just very new in this year. So I want to give you some encouragement this morning. I want to encourage you to not be so judgmental about your brethren or about those round about you. Rather be loving rather than judgmental. I know you like the picture that's up there. It's ugly, right? And it just goes to show how ugly judging can be. Well, let's move along. I want to turn your attention, please, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. And you're way familiar with this verse. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. And of course, everybody runs around and does whatever it is that they want to do. And when you question it, they say, hey, you can't judge me. That's the, you know, that they say, oh, that's in the Bible. You can't judge me. But that's not at all what Jesus is talking about. We have to make judgments. It's a natural thing that we make judgments. But how you make those judgments mean everything to Jesus. When he says, do not judge so that you will not be judged, what he's saying is, don't be mean. Don't be cruel. Don't be harsh. Don't condemn. And don't punish. Now, how do you do that? Well, when somebody does something that you don't like and you think that's a horribly bad thing, you don't return evil for evil, but love for evil. You don't do ugly back. You do what's right back. You pray for your enemies and you bless them. Always do what it is that God would want you to do in every situation. But you can see that this word judge here is a word that is hurtful. I judge you in such a way that I have such strong feelings that I will not give you the time of day. Now, you've experienced this. You've experienced this perhaps from your own family, or perhaps maybe from your best friend over the years. He or she does something that's just not with you, and you have to say, well, I don't like that thing that you did, and so the friendship is broken. The concept of judging is one of, here, let me poke you in the eye, right? And so we don't want to go around doing that. We don't want to be mean people. We want to be people that can help, not people that are hurtful. All right, so let's read on. For the way that you judge, for in the way that you judge, you will be judged. Now listen, so for in the way that you think of others harshly, you will be thought of harshly. If in the way that you judge meanly, then you will be judged meanly. If in the way that you judge, you will be judged in a condemning sort of sense. If you judge in a way to hurt somebody, you will be judged in a hurtful sort of way. And you might say, well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like fair judgment. I mean, God is loving. We are Christians. We expect to go to heaven. We want to do what it is that Jesus wants done. And there's kind of sort of the catch. We give lip service many times to say, oh, yeah, we want to do what Jesus wants us to do. And then we turn right around and do something that's truly ungodly. For in the way that you look at other people or treat other people or form thoughts about people, that's the way that you will be judged. The fact is, Jesus, you see it's red letter edition there, so that means Jesus is speaking these words. So the way that you do this, when you get to heaven or you get to that judgment day, Jesus is going to say, you know, you treated Garland down there, you treated him pretty badly. You judged him and you didn't do right by him. You are just as bad as he was. Whatever you think that he did, you did as well. So here, let me apply the same measure by the way that you treated Garland, I'm going to treat you the same way. I'm going to judge you the same way. Now, you think that person's going to go to heaven? If this person over here is worthy of hell, and Jesus says, I'm going to treat you the same way, do you think Jesus would say you're worthy of heaven? And the answer to that would be apparently not. He would be condemning you because of the sin that is in your life. Jesus has the final say-so in everything. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So whatever it is that you form an opinion about, and that's very interesting because you can form a snap opinion. As a matter of fact, when you meet new people, you've got about 3 to 5 seconds to form an opinion, and you form an opinion about them. So when you meet somebody, you got 3 to 5 seconds to come up with an opinion about those. And you may not like the way they dress. You may not like the way that they smell. You may not like the way that they do their hair. You don't like the way that they carry themselves. You may not appreciate the things or how the things are said that they say. And so you have this judgment that says, you know, I really don't want to be around that person. Now, I'm not talking about abusive situations. I'm just saying that when you come across people and for whatever reason you form this opinion about them, that is the same sort of measurement that God will use on you to judge you at the day of his coming. Now, you know what? Everybody has enemies. If you exist, there are people in the world who just don't like you. That's just the way it is. But on the other hand, as Christians, we don't need to form those kinds of opinions. If the person is a Christian, you've got to be able to forbear your own thoughts and opinions and treat that person fairly, nicely, as in love. When you meet somebody out on the street that is a non-Christian and you don't appreciate whatever it is about them, you don't just kick them to the curb. You want to treat them nicely and well and kind and lovingly so that you might have an opportunity to share the gospel with them, share the love of Jesus Christ. That's the concept. That's the idea of being all judgy. You know, the horrible thing is we judge each other harshly sometimes. Now, so if I can read this, do not judge your brother harshly. Do not judge your brother meanly. Do not judge your brother in a condemnation sort of way. Do not judge your brother in a hurtful sort of way or a punishing sort of way. You understand the point? When brother and sister do it, you see how it is compoundingly ugly that when we do these kinds of things, God wants us to exchange love for love with one another. And that's the scripture. We are commanded to do that. But when we can't stand our brother, then something in my heart is not right. If I were to take a look at so-and-so, brother so-and-so here, and, you know, he's pretty weird. I just don't like that guy. That's my heart. That's my heart that's speaking. It speaks more about me than it does about that person. So this concept of judging is extremely important. And God says, you're going to be judged just the way that you judge others. Powerful statement, huh? All right, let's take a look now at verses 3 and 4. Jesus says, why do you look at that speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye and behold, look, the log is in your own eye. You know, you can focus on others' faults, right? You can focus on stuff about people that you may not like, particularly, once again, your brother. That's what we're considering this morning. This is, after all, the sermon about God's kingdom. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is foundational information for people who will be Christians when the opportunity is given. All right, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye? The shirt that I've got on this morning, if you look at it, you may not see because they're so small, but if you look at it, there are these little tiny specks on it. Now, I don't know where they came from. One day they were not there, and the next day they were there, and they've been there ever since. So that's kind of sort of the thought. When you come up to somebody, a brother or a sister, and you say, oh yeah, I don't like this guy because they were ugly once upon a time, they did this once upon a time, they are never ever going to change, they're always going to be the way that I don't like them, they're never going to get any better. Really, we're speaking about ourselves. We're speaking about ourselves when we do that. We are never going to get better. We are never going to be the kind of people that we want to be. Because you see that in somebody else, you see that, you should see that in your own self. And understand, wait, that's my own prejudice. That's my own thought. That's my own ugliness. And the fact is, even though brother so-and-so has a little tiny bit of something that's not to be liked, and you've gotten this log or this beam that is in your eye, how in the world are you going to be able to remove that speck or help your brother with that speck in his eye? Can you not imagine? Here, let me help you, and you hit this guy in the head because of your beam. You know, it's like, here, let me turn around and help you. Boom. And you hit that guy in the head because of the log that's in your eye. That's not good. That's not going to work. What we want to do is be able to look at what God has to say. If you would, please, turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 19. James 1 and verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like, don't be judgmental. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, that by you should know where you are before God, that you are humble, and that without Jesus you can't make it. So in humility, receive the word implanted. Now that word is intended to change your heart, to change your core being, so that you live the way that God would want you to live. So in humility, receive the word, take in that word into your hearts, and that word, God's word, is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. You see, that's the guy. That's the guy with the beam, because he's deluding himself. So in verse 23 then, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. And once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty, the one who intently looks at God's word, the law of liberty, the perfect law, and lives by it, abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Yeah, if you turn over a chapter to James chapter 2 and verse 13, James chapter 2 and verse 13, we can read this. James chapter 2 and verse 13. For judgment will be merciless. When? To the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Ah, there you go, judgment. So if I judge you harshly, you know what is better than judging you meanly? That is compassion. You know what? My brother doesn't always speak well. I'm talking about us, my brothers and sisters. My spiritual siblings, how's that? They don't always speak well. Now, I could get kind of sort of judgmental about that and have some sort of harsh thought about that. But what's really required is, you know, that guy needs mercy. He needs compassion. He needs a little help. He needs some forbearance. Somebody needs to be patient with this guy and the way that he talks. Maybe he just doesn't have it all together yet. Maybe there's something else that's going on with him. Same thing. I don't like what so-and-so did 20 years ago. I don't know, whatever. And so you've kept that thought for 20 years. And instead of being judgmental and thinking harshly of that person needs your compassion. They need your mercy. They need your love to accept them, to forbear with them, to help them, and to do whatever it is that needs to get done in the way of service to God. That's the thing. No one of us is perfect. We all have a beam in our eye from time to time, and we'd much rather be treated as loved and being receiving compassion than having brothers and sisters come down on your heart. That's a very hurtful sort of thing. And often, usually, I would say that doesn't work. That doesn't help anybody. But when you just communicate, when you just talk, when you just have the heart to speak to somebody and say, brother or sister, you've got this thing going on, and let me tell you, brother, you need to kind of sort of work on that. And if you need some help in that, let me know, and I will endeavor to help you in whatever way that I possibly can. Judgment. It's a hard thing. And you know what else? You're incredibly arrogant when you judge somebody. You know that? You are unbelievably arrogant when you form an ugly opinion about somebody. Well, now, Garland, you're going to have to explain that. What does that mean? Where are you going with this? Well, you're no better than the person that you've judged. You've got things against you. You do things against God. You are ugly sometimes. And why would you decide to take it upon yourself? Why would you have a haughty heart to go over and say, you know, I don't like Brother Smith. Just because Brother Smith is, you know, whatever. And so, you know, that's pretty arrogant, isn't it? Why? Why is that arrogant? Because Jesus died for Brother Smith, and he died for me. And you know what else? Why this is arrogant? When you judge somebody, you are taking Jesus' place. It is a place you do not have. Jesus is the judge, not us. Jesus will judge us. We won't judge others. I will not judge my brothers. I will not judge my sisters. That's not my job. My job is to follow Jesus Christ lovingly and kindly, helping each other, being compassionate toward one another, and doing the kinds of things that God would want us to do. So don't be arrogant. You do not sit in the judgment seat. You do not sit where Jesus sits. Now, I'm not talking about some observation of sin, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. All right, let's move on to the third point. How do you get rid of PED, plank eye disease? How do you get rid of that awful, awful disease? Well, let's go back to Matthew and take a look at verse 5. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5. If you were to judge somebody and you judge them harshly or meanly, and yet you say that you're a Christian, Jesus calls you a hypocrite. And what he's saying is, You may act like a Christian, but you are not a Christian. Now, how would you like for Jesus to come up to you and to say, you know, brother so-and-so, I gotta tell you the truth, you're a hypocrite. And you would say, ow, Jesus, coming from you, that's a super hurt. That's a bad, hurtful sort of thing. Why do you call me a hypocrite? Because you're judging others when you need to take a look at yourself. You've got your own issues to clean up. Now, he says, notice that he says first what you need to do. The first step, what you need to do up front, take the log out of your own eye. Well, you got to recognize that you have a log in your eye. Up to this point, maybe you haven't noticed that you've got a log in your eye. But Jesus says, get rid of it. Get rid of your own ugliness. Get rid of your own sins. Get rid of the things that are inherently yours or are yours by sin, and that you need to get rid of those things. Remove those things from your life. And you can do that. How do you do that? You compare yourself to God's word. And look, God says, be kind. Sometimes I'm not so kind. Sometimes I'm unkind. God says, be loving. Sometimes I'm really not very loving. And be compassionate. No, I'm not so compassionate, Lord. So we can just make a list of ourselves. We can take inventory of ourselves. And we'll find out that says, hey, wait a minute. You know, we are not the kind of people. I am not the kind of person that God wants me to be. So then thereby, I know that I must humbly remove the log out of my own eye, the beam out of my own eye. And when I say humbly, I mean humbly because you have considered yourself a Christian, and in order to not be a hypocrite, you're going to do the Christian things that God wants you to do. And so if you get a log in your own eye, you're going to take care of it. You're going to rid yourself of that one beam that's in your eye. Then number two, that's in verse 5. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And so now I can help. I've got my stuff cleaned up. I've got my stuff cleared up. And I can go over to brother so-and-so and say, brother so-and-so, let's talk about this. Yeah, I'll put my arm around him. And then let's talk about this. Let's see what God has to say. Maybe we can come to a conclusion about this. Maybe you don't even recognize that you've got a speck in your eye. And so here, let's just look at God's word and we'll determine what to do about that speck. That speck is an irritant. You ever had something in your eye that's an irritant? Sometimes it takes quite a bit of work, labor, to get that irritant out of your eye. But that's what Christians do. We don't judge. We love. We're not mean. We're kind. We don't hate. We love. We don't hold something against somebody. We go to them and we talk about the situation and try to get that remedy, try to get that fixed up. You know, there's an old corporate saying, there are some people that are angels. You know, they do all things right. They don't get in the way. They do what the boss wants. They get their projects done. They get their projects done on time and in budget. And so these people wear halos, all right? They wear halos. But then there are some people who do an okay job. They endeavor to get their projects done. They try to do it in time and on budget. But sometimes maybe that just doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, there was this fellow named Joe. And I remember Joe. He did something that was just not right within the corporation. So everybody knows that Joe now has devil's horns. So you got two kinds of people at work. You got those that wear a halo, and you've got people that have grown horns. Now, the result of this is a person with a halo can lose that halo, grow horns. But once you grow the horns, you never get rid of them. Why? because people always remember that ugly thing that you might have done or said or didn't do and you should have gotten done. And so people always remember that, and they always have that mark against you. But you see, that's not what God wants. He wants resolution. He wants forgiveness. He wants love. All right, so help others when you can. So let's talk about this just real quick. Now, he says in verse 6, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, dogs are not always the cleanest of animals. They wallow around in the mud sometimes and get all matty and stuff with mud and water and whatever it is that they get into. And they might get a little hungry from time to time, and so they're like in a bad mood and they might snap at your hand. So you might want to give the gospel to somebody who is like that, but you need to make a judgment in this sense. Is this person going to not be amenable? Because we don't know that until we talk to them. Is this person going to cause damage in some way? And so, yeah, we need to be judgmental. There are some things that we need to be judgmental about. And then also these hogs, these pearls, before swine. Well, they wander around in the mud. They get all messy and the same sort of thing. I don't know if you've known about the way some people hunt feral hogs. They do it with dogs, and they don't particularly use a gun until if they have to later on. So they find a hog, the dogs find a hog, and they start chasing and start barking after it, and you're following the dogs, and eventually you catch up to them, and instead of just shooting the hog right there, you jump on its back, and you wrestle it to the ground. And then you try to subdue that hog. Some people are crazy enough to do those kinds of things. I don't know why they think that's fun. That seems to be a thing in Texas. Those guys do that sort of thing. But you know that those old hogs like that can be extremely dangerous. So when you throw the gospel, when you throw something that's very priceless, like the blood of Jesus Christ, to somebody who's going to rip and tear, then you're not doing what it is that Jesus wants you to do. You must judge that situation so that you know what it is that God would have you to do. All right. Are you judgy? Are you a judgy person?